manipulate. I was able to control situations very well. It got me what I wanted. And it also eventually led me to some really dark places. The fact that I just would burn bridge after bridge after bridge once people kind of started to figure out my game and my schemes was very, it got depressing, but then I'd find a new crew of people to do it to. And, you know, all the meanwhile wondering, poor me, why is everybody, like, you know, disowning me and not talking to me, and why does this stuff keep happening to me? I played the pity card for a real long time. I still struggle with it occasionally in sobriety. It's a deeply ingrained thing from about a 15-year run. So I am much more aware of it. I have a lot of family. I have a lot of friends in the program that like to call me out on it, and I'm not defensive like I used to get about it. I'm like, shit, you're right. And I also have a sponsor that likes to call me out on it too. A thing that I did often, I was somebody that tried the geographical cure multiple times, with my running. I moved from Vermont right after high school. I moved down to New Jersey. After my parents divorced, my dad got cancer. I moved down to Jersey. I was like, I'll change my life. Like I was already drinking and, doing other things as well. So I went down to New Jersey, and that didn't work out after about a year, so I went over the bridge to Philadelphia for about 5 years. I thought that was working out, but looking back, that was a really rough time. The people I was hanging with, I just surrounded myself with the people that I felt at home with at the time in my alcoholism, in my addiction, and it got very, you know... For a dude from the woods of Vermont to live in northeast Philadelphia, like, let's just say I didn't fit in that well. And I tried to blend in there, and it didn't. And I was like, it was the first place where I was like, man, maybe this life isn't for me. And I remember this 14-year-old kid one time, he goes, man, I was 22 at the time. He goes, I don't think you're cut out for this game. And I was like, why is this 14-year-old kid telling me this? And that was like, for me, I think, like, looking back in hindsight, I'm like, that was the first time where I was just like, man, like someone, it's like this young kid called me out on like the way I was living. And that was before I had actually come clean to my family about what was going on and why the patterns in my life were actual patterns. It started to come to light that like something wasn't right. Like my family knew something was up, and maybe it was like a denial thing, but they didn't want to know what it actually was. And so I came clean, and I will just kind of shorten this long 10-year span up of from 2008 to 2017 of in and out of rehabs, in and out of detoxes, moving to probably 7 or 8 different cities, towns, trying to escape myself. Every time I moved somewhere, I moved to that place trying to escape the people, like with no sights on anything to change in myself. So 2017 in August, I had a really kind of like in and out of rehab run for the last few months that I was out there. Something happened that I was in a detox in Vermont that I had checked out of after like 6 days, but the day before I checked out, I like had a foxhole prayer and dropped to my knees in the shower and had like a mental breakdown, that like I asked God for something to change no matter what it took. And, 2 days later, as I sat locked up in a psychiatric ward, I was playing the poor me card. I was like, what the hell? Like poor, like, why does this keep happening to me? About 6 days after being locked up in that psychiatric ward where they said, you have to go to Portland, Maine. Like, this is kind of a plan that a therapist I had there in Vermont, the, nurses at the psych ward and everybody kind of came together, my family, and, said like, that's your plan. You have to go to the Salvation Army in Portland. Like, that's how you're getting out of here. That's the only way you're getting out of here. And it was, I ended up on that 6th day in that psych ward being like, my mom came in to visit me and I said, Mom, there's guys like pissing on themselves in the hallways, like screaming at themselves, walking down the hall. I'm like, these people are crazy. And she said, you're right where you need to be then. And for me, that sucked. Like, I was like, you, Mom, like, she left. She had driven an hour plus to see me, swore at her. She left. And the next morning I woke up and I was like, holy shit, this was that prayer that I had in that detox center a week ago. Like, no matter what it took for God to get me to where I need to get. And I was not a believer of any type of power, higher, lower, like nothing. Like, so it was that day that they said you can sign out, like you're accepted to go up to Portland. And I came up here and I've been sober ever since. So that was, I think I started, I started working with a guy when I was in there. I had been introduced to AA back in 2008. I had gotten to the fourth step multiple times, I think two, three times maybe. And always said, screw this. I don't need this. This is, I don't want to look at me. Like who wants to look at themselves? So this time around I came here and, I remember the first guy I worked with said, start doing things that make you uncomfortable. Start doing things that you didn't do last time or all the last times. He said, start like do the opposite of everything you ever did. And I'm sure I'd been told that multiple times over that 10, 12 year span. But this time, like the desperation was there where it was like, okay, like I need to do the things that make me feel uncomfortable. As time goes on, I notice that I tend to fight that a little bit. Being over 2 years sober, I'm like, it makes me uncomfortable. Like I shouldn't have to do it at this point. but you know, my sponsor the other night kind of gave me a reality check after not calling him for a couple weeks on, I am where I am pretty much because of what I have done since I got sober. And being diligent about that and staying on top of it every week. This is the first time in my life that, you know, I got past the fourth step. I had started writing a few times, like I mentioned, and, it wasn't even uncomfortable, but I knew the uncomfortability was coming up and I was like, I'm out of here. Like I'm out of here. I've heard people say that this is some work once you get into that fourth step. And then reading it out loud to somebody, no one's going to hear this stuff. And eventually, someone heard it. And I'll tell you, writing it down didn't, for me personally, writing it down didn't do much for me. I wrote it down. I was like, yeah, I know all this stuff. It's on paper now. Big deal. When I read it, like, I hear some people have a certain experience, when they read it. I don't know if necessarily I had that experience right when I read it versus a couple days later over the next week of just being like, damn, like that shit's out there now. Like that's out there. It's not just like trapped inside me. Like all that stuff's out there, all this shame, all this guilt, all this fear. It's out there. And to me, that was, it felt over a little bit of time like some sort of spiritual experience. Sharing it with somebody else, having the faith in another human being, because when I was out doing my thing, I did not have faith in anything. Coming in here, I'm just going to touch on the higher power thing for me right now. And when I came in here, I went into the Salvation Army, which most people know is a Christian-based program. That is not what I practice. It is, I definitely respect it because that path actually showed me what other people in the same position I was in could see something greater than themselves. And for me, for the first time in my life, that was like, wow, these dudes that I got close with in here over the first couple weeks are using this. And so I started to use that. And for me, it built a foundation of what I could see that I felt some sort of, I don't know what, if I'd call it an energy, if I'd call it the action I was taking or just like a combination of everything. But it was just this little bit of faith that I started to have in myself, which for the first, like I had never felt that in my entire life, even before I started drinking and drugging. And it was, and I ran with it pretty damn hard. I ended up getting most of the way through my fourth step with that first guy I was working with, and he handed me off to someone in the Big Book Step Study group, which I was pissed about, because I was like, I just wrote like 3/4 of my fourth step. Like, now I got to start. And my sponsor said, well, you're starting over. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? So that sucked. But like the blessing, like time to get uncomfortable, right? Like that was that. That's like the pattern in my recovery is like, like if I want to grow, I got to get uncomfortable. And so I started doing that work again. And I'll tell you, it took me a while to rewrite that other fourth step. It took me a while. And I sat on it. I procrastinated a little bit here and there. I filled up a couple notebooks, and it was, and I definitely filled it up with more stuff that I left out of that first one the other guy I was working with. So that's kind of like one of those God shots right there, is like, maybe I had to do that. Maybe I needed to get handed off to another sponsor, because the first time I was kind of like in bullshit mode. By the time I got handed off to the guy I still work with, it, I feel like I was kind of either at a transitional period of overcoming that bullshit mode that I had lived in for so long, or something. And I wrote down everything, and things that I omitted, I brought up at the end when he asked, "Was there anything else that you left out?" Because there was some things I left out, and that was. That was tough for me because I had to pause for a minute. I remember before I said those things, and it was tough, but it describes in this, reading we just did, like, have you omitted anything? And those things could lead me back out to drink or drug. And for me to definitely drink is to die. I have clinically been there twice, and it was, and it is a blessing. And I believe that I am here to be able to help the next alcoholic that struggles, because there is no reason that I should be alive. This work has, I've been going through a rough patch the past few weeks in my sobriety, and sometimes I've had a couple times in my sobriety since I've been through some rough patches, and it's usually over the same shit. I got my friends that know what I'm talking about here laughing. I often wonder when I hit a rough patch, I'm like, is this going to be the thing that brings me back out? And then I'm like, but then the next question is, am I doing the work that I have done that's kept me sober this whole time? And the answer is probably not. So I should start doing it. I should start doing it better, because I can always better my recovery. I know I can. There's times where I do stay stagnant, where I'm stagnant in my recovery, and the feeling I get internally with it is much more apparent than it used to be, and that in itself is a blessing. I also think just this work. If I didn't dive into this work this time, I would be dead. And that's not an exaggeration. And that for me was where that desperation came in this time, was I knew what AA was about. I had seen so many people go through it. I think I had like 7 sponsors that were just like, if you do this work, watch what happens. And I'm like, meh, nah. But I had to get to that point. And it's unfortunate that, like, we do have to get to a certain point that brings us to our knees, that brings us to that point of desperation where we say, shit, I tried everything else. Maybe this does work. For me, that's how it worked. It wasn't in 2008, after getting out of my first treatment center, if there was no way I was giving into this. Like, the moment I heard that God word, I was out. Like, and then that followed for 10 years after. It was a scary thing to me. It was a very scary thing to me. I pray every day. My prayer game has been improving, which I have very close contact with my mother now. And she said to me, she said, how's your prayer? She often asks me, how's your prayer and meditation? I go, that's all right. She goes, well, is it improving? And I was like, shit, like, no, it's not. So I get those reminders. Like, if it's not improving, then what's it doing? And so my prayer has improved drastically lately. I'm finishing up a seasonal job right now where I drive a truck like a ton of the time. So I just pray out loud lately in my truck, which is awesome. I never did it. I feel like I've needed it lately. I've needed to like hear the words come out. You know, if I was a newcomer sitting in this room, I'd be looking at me like, dude, that guy's nuts. Because I've been there. And, you know, getting to these points of desperation and knowing what has saved me and saved so many others. And, these guys that I have known since I moved to Portland, I have a lot of friends who have come in and out since I have stayed sober. And I have seen once they commit to this work, what it does in their lives. And, to be able to have close friends that have, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, a year that have seen me do the work is like when I looked at somebody I knew. I have a guy, the first guy I was working with was 10 months sober, I think, when I moved to Portland. And that for me was like, well, this guy and me have like the same story, and I just watched him do it. He went through the work and he's staying sober. So for me, it's just like that ripple effect of like, what am I doing that's going to kind of, how am I leading by example? Am I being a child of God? Am I being a man of God? And no, not always, not even close to always. But I do try my best, and I do try harder, and I have been trying harder lately to act differently, to reach out more if needed, to be there if people are reaching out to me, and to just to do what this book says. Because if I don't do what this book says, I didn't do what this book said for years, and I know where that left me. And it wasn't a pretty place. But I know I kind of rambled on, guys. Speaking on the fifth step, I have not been to this meeting for a while. I apologize. So the format, it confuses me a tad bit. But should I speak more on the fifth step, or...?
If you want.
I don't know. I think that's about it.
I think so.
Yeah.